Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church at Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives.
Good morning, Las Vegas. Thanks so much for listening to the broadcast this morning. My name is John Racine with the Church at Las Vegas, and today is August 5th, 2018. It's hard to believe that we're already in August, right? But what we always have to remember is that no matter how fast the days seem to go by and how fast time flies, we need to remember that it's not so much whether we have a short or long amount of time, but that we recognize it's what we do with the time that we have that matters. That's why the Bible exhorts us over in Ephesians chapter 5 to live not as unwise, but as wise, redeeming the time, making sure that we're using it to the very best. And that's not going to happen if we don't think about it. And of course, that includes all kinds of things. That includes pleasure, it includes work, it includes just downtime and sleep and eating and all the other things that are part of life. But let's make sure that we're not just drifting through life, but that we're living life on purpose. Amen? All right. Hey, before we go back to Hebrews chapter 11, I wanted to read a poem for you this week. It's called Each Life Affects Another's. Each Life Affects Another's. And this is by an unknown author, it says, but I really like the words, and so I want to share them with you. Here's how it goes. We may not always realize that everything we do affects not only our lives, but touches others too. For a little bit of thoughtfulness that shows someone you care creates a ray of sunshine for both of you to share. Yes, every time you offer someone a helping hand, every time you show a friend you care and understand, every time you have a kind and gentle word to give, you help someone find beauty in this precious life we live. For happiness brings happiness, and loving ways bring love, and giving is the treasure that contentment is made of. I like that. And you know, it reminds me that Paul quoted Jesus as saying, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And Jesus said, the greatest among you is the servant, the one who serves others. And so let's always be reminded how precious it is and how good it makes us feel when somebody is kind to us or somebody encourages us or somebody's there for us. Let's do all that we can to make sure that we're there for someone else. All right, in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 17, remember we've been talking about faith. We've been doing a whole series of messages about faith and how important faith is. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 that we're saved by grace through faith. And so faith is so important for us to understand. It's so important for us to put into practice in our lives. Remember, we talked about that we don't want to be those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. And so we want to continue to live by faith. Faith in what? Well, it's more faith in who than in what, but our faith in who also helps us to have faith in what? Our faith is in God, who's given us His Word, which is the Bible or the Scriptures, and through that Word, that's where our faith develops. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And so when we put into practice those things that God has revealed to us, given to us as our way of life, then we can know that we're walking by faith. And so, you know, again, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. And then we've talked about all kinds of different examples so far of those who lived by faith. Okay, by faith Abel, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham. Okay, and we're going to continue to talk about Abraham today. And I love this passage. This is one of my favorite passages in Hebrews chapter 11. And as we go back and look at Genesis 22 as well, I just love this because this, in so many ways, just is such a great picture of what faith is in a way that you know, none of us are ever called to do this. And this is one of those special kind of things that I believe that God did so that we could look back at it and be encouraged by it in such a great way. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17, "By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, 'It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned.'" Okay, so first of all, let's go back to Genesis chapter 12 and be reminded that God chose Abraham. God said to Abram, now he could have said this to anybody else that he chose to use for his purposes, but the Lord had said to Abraham, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you." That's what we talked about last week, that by faith, Abraham, when he was told to go, he went. Okay? But then it goes on to say, "I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Okay, so he's talking about Abraham's descendants, that ultimately through Abraham's descendants, that all peoples on earth would be blessed through you. Why? Well, because through Abraham, Jesus ultimately would come, the Messiah, the one through whom all of God's purposes are in. And so if you go to Genesis chapter 15, remember again, the word of the Lord came to Abram and he said, "Don't be afraid, I'm your shield and your very great reward." And Abram said to him, "Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless?" Okay, verse 3, "You've given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir." And the word of the Lord came to him, "This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir." And he took him outside and he said, "Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them." Then he said to him, "So shall your offspring be." And Abram believed the Lord, and it was credited to him as righteousness. So back here in Genesis chapter 12, it says that when God made those promises to him, that he was 75 years old. Okay? And then he reminded him again that, hey, even though you're childless now, your offspring's going to be as numerous as the stars in the sky. And Abram believed the Lord. Okay, in other words, he had faith in his promise that he would be able to bring that about. And when you get over to Genesis chapter 18 and the Lord appears to Abram and Sarah and lets them know, hey, within the year that you're going to have a child. And then, of course, they, you know, both kind of were in a little bit of really because of that. But the Lord said to Abram in verse 13, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Well, I really have a child now that I am old'? Is anything too hard for the Lord?" Okay, so there may have been a little bit of wow, can God really do this? But ultimately they did. They believed him. They trusted him. Just like we read previously in Romans chapter 4, where Paul uses Abraham as an example of faith, where in chapter 4 and verse 18, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. So Abram, at that time, believed God's promise. And so from 75 until 100, he had to wait 25 years for that promise to even start to be fulfilled in one offspring. That's amazing. When's the last time any of us waited around 25 years for a promise to be kept, right? We don't usually have that much patience. But, you know, when God makes a promise, God will bring it about. But he'll bring it about in his time, not our time. And so Abraham is such an example of faith because he believed God. He continued to trust God, even though it seemed impossible. Even though it had been so long, he still held on to it. Hey, so here he's 100 years old when Isaac comes, and then Isaac's growing up. Isaac was born, and he's growing up. And in chapter 22, in verse 1, it says, sometime later, God tested Abraham, and he said to Abraham, and he said, here I am. And then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on the mountain I will show you. Now, here's the thing about it. Somebody says, well, I didn't think God did something like that. I didn't think God tested people. I didn't think God tempted people. Well, no, the Bible says that God doesn't tempt people. Okay, in other words, God never tempts people to do something wrong, like Satan did there in Genesis chapter 3 when Eve was there at the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and Satan said to her, did God really say? And so he was trying to tempt her in that situation. In this instant, God is testing Abram's faith. He's going to see what Abraham does, not for God's sake, but so that Abraham would understand his heart. And so he tells him, this is what I want you to do. And so, wow, really? That's I want you to take your son, your only son, the son I promised you, the son you waited for so long for, and I want you to go sacrifice him as a burnt offering? Wow, what would so many of us do? We'd probably start going, well, Lord, I mean, wait. I thought that my offspring were going to be as numerous as the stars in the sky, and now you want me to offer as a burnt offering the first son that you give me? I mean, can you put yourself in Abraham's shoes and try to think how he may have felt? And yet his trust in God was implicit. And his desire to do what God told him to do was there. In other words, it wasn't something that he was going to argue with God about. God said it, that settled it, he was going to do it. He was under obligation to do what God wanted him to do, it shows here. And so verse 3 says, early the next morning, Abraham got up, loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac, and when he cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. All right? It says, on the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance, and he said to his servant, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy will go over there and we'll worship, and then we'll come back to you. Abram took the wood for the wood offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? Now, by this time, you know, most scholars believe that Isaac is somewhere in his late teens, you know, 16, 17, 18, maybe a little bit older. You know, it doesn't give us an exact age, but, you know, he's probably far old enough to physically be stronger than his aged father, right? I mean, if he was born when he was 100, all right? And so Isaac's trying to figure this out. Okay, I see this and this and this, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and he took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. And Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. All right, and so what an amazing account, isn't it? What an amazing account that by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, like Hebrews 11:17 says, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He didn't just think about doing it. He did it. He was doing it. He was in the process of actually offering up his son Isaac. He was ready to slit his throat, as it would, to take the knife to slay his son, so that he could be a sacrifice. And just like it says, he who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. So, I mean, what a test of faith, right? Okay, God had told him that this is the one. Isaac is the one. Through Isaac, your offspring will be reckoned. And yet now here's God telling them to offer him as a sacrifice. How does that work? How do you reconcile that? By faith, right? By faith. When God told Abraham to do this, Abraham obeyed. In other words, there was implicit trust there. He obeyed and he did what God told him to do. And all the way through, right up to getting ready to slay him, and right at the last moment, the angel of the Lord called out and said, don't lay your hand on the boy. And there was a ram in the thickets, and so Abraham offered that offering up instead. And so, wow, how could he do that? Well, first of all, he trusted God. Okay, he trusted God. He was obedient to God, and so here's the way he reckons in Hebrews chapter 11:19. Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead, and so in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. In other words, God told him to sacrifice. As far as Abraham was concerned, that was it. He was going to do it. He was going to sacrifice his son. He was going to put to death the only son that he had, that God had promised to him, that God said, this is who your offspring will be counted through. He was going to do it. And so as far as Abraham was concerned, Isaac was already dead when God told him to do it. That's how implicit his obedience was. Isn't that amazing? You know, I wonder sometimes if we have that kind of obedience toward God, that we do what God says in that same manner. Abraham's obedience is an amazing challenge to our life, let alone his faith. But here's the thing. It says there in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 19, that Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. And so that's the faith that Abraham had. Okay, I'm going to put him to death. God's going to have to raise him from the dead to keep his promise. And he believed, like we talked about there in Romans 4, he believed that God had the power to do that. He obviously had the power to bless him with the son in the first place, even though it was physically impossible, right? And so if God could do that, what's bringing him back from the dead? God can certainly do that too, right? And that's the point. That's the idea. That's what happened. And so that's what Abraham believed. That's why he was going through with it. That's what he said to his servants, even if you notice back there in Genesis 22 and verse 5, he said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." So again, even though he completely believed that Isaac was going to be sacrificed, that he was going to kill him, he had faith that, well, if I do this, then God's going to have to raise him from the dead. And it wasn't going to be in a long time. It was going to be right away, because Abraham and Isaac would come back to the servants. "We will worship and then we will come back to you." I mean, can you see that? I mean, the faith that's involved in that, that's amazing. That is absolutely incredible. It's why Abraham is called the father of our faith. Okay, that he's such an example, such an extreme example. Okay, that he was by faith willing to sacrifice his son because he believed that God could raise him from the dead. And so, wow, what an amazing, amazing example that is. And in fact, if you go back to Genesis chapter 22 and let's see, verse 15, after Abraham had offered the ram instead of his son, the angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me." I mean, isn't that awesome? And so that's exactly what God did through Abraham, ultimately down through Jesus Christ. And so that same kind of faith that Abraham had, that's the kind of faith that we need to have. All right. Hey, let's listen to our song this morning by Sidewalk Prophets called "Live Like That." Now, I don't know about you, but just talking about Abraham and what he did, it fires me up to want to live a even stronger, closer walk of faith with our Lord. So let's go ahead and listen to "I Want to Live Like That" this morning.
Sometimes I think, what will people say of me when I'm only just a memory? When I'm home where my soul belongs, was I loved when no one else would show up? Was I Jesus to the least of us? Was my worship more than just a song? I wanna live like that and give it all I have, so that everything I say and do points to you. If love is who I am, then this is where I stand. Recklessly abandoned, never holding back. I wanna change your heart? Do I live like your love is true? People pass, and even if they don't know my name, is there evidence that I've been changed? When they see me, do they see you? I wanna live like that and give it all I have, so that everything you say and do points to you. If love is who I am, then this is where I stand. Recklessly longing for the world to know the glory of the King. I want to live like that and give it all I have, so that everything you say and do points to
All right, we're back this morning. What a great song. I want to live like that. Hey, I guess you've probably realized in listening to that account of Abraham and his son Isaac, and maybe those things are very familiar with, and you were just reminded, or maybe you heard it for the first time, but isn't it amazing how close it follows with John 3:16? You know, John 3:16 is one of the most well-known, well-loved verses of Scripture for a reason, because it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And so God provided a substitute for Abraham so he wouldn't have to see his son die. And yet when it came time for the Son of God to be the sacrifice, so that the penalty of our sins could be paid for, and so that the whole new creation could be inaugurated through Jesus, there was no substitute. And yet Jesus did that for us, and aren't we glad? And so, friend, if you don't have faith in God, if you don't have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I sure want to encourage you to pursue that with all of your heart. Start seeking after God. And we'd encourage you to come to the church at Las Vegas and do that. We meet together on Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, and Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. We meet at 3388 South Decatur Boulevard, right in between Spring Mountain and Desert Inn. And like I said, we'd love to point you and bring you into the very presence of Christ in the Scripture. So please, we want to invite you to come. And if you'd like to learn more about us, go to our website, thechurchatlasvegas.com, thechurchatlasvegas.com. And hey, until next week, keep standing on the solid rock. Keep your faith in the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you. And live your life on that solid rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God.